And you are listening to WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM. Welcome to the afternoon.
Temperatures once again. It's one of those afternoons where we're absolutely baked.
It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. I like to stop with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. But I ain't up to my baby tonight. Cause it's too darn hot. Too darn hot. It's just too darn hot. I like to coo with my baby tonight. And pitch the woo with my baby tonight. I'd like to coo with my baby tonight. Pitch the woo with my baby tonight. Brother, you fight my baby tonight. Cause it's too darn hot. According to the cancer report, every average man you know much prefers his lovey-dovey to court when the temperature is low. But when the thermometer goes way up and the weather is sizzling hot, Mr. Pants, for romance is not. Because it's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. Oh, it's
gotta get the heat down. Woo. Gotta get the heat down. It is here at WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM, WMNF, the best little station in the nation. It is April, and we are focusing on the environment this month, and too damn hot. He's part of that. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to listen back to the great show, The Skinny, you can always go online to WMNF.org. Look at the programming schedule or broadcast schedule and click on there, and you can listen to that show for many times as you want. It's a great show. My name, though, or I should say this show's name, is Art in Your Ear, and I'm so glad you're tuning in. My name is Dwellyn Schilke. I am the hostess who loves you absolutely the most, and we have a stellar show on tap for you today. Artist Kurt K. Wang is coming back into the studio, as with Dustin Lemke from HCC, Dale Mabry. Kirk has a show up at the Gallery 221 at Dale Mabry, and it is a really powerful, beautiful, and incredibly beautiful show called Snow in September. In just a few minutes, we're going to be chatting about that, plus let you know about stuff that's going on the on around in the area, stuff to do, and general things. If you want to get in touch, please do send a text at 813-433-0885 and put your name in that if you would be so kind. Or you can always email dj@wmnf.org. All right, well, we've got a little announcement for you guys and then some more music, and we'll be back with Kirk K. Wang and Dustin Lemke. Hang in there. Stay tuned. Thank you for being out there.
Wow, now that's a big RV. But when's the last time you used it? Just imagine all the room you'll gain when you move that motorhome, RV, or other vehicle getting in the way. WMNF accepts cars, trucks, RVs, and more as a form of support. Plus, donating is easy and the pickup is free. Go to WMNFcar.org for more.
We have this incredibly beautiful mix of David Bowie's China Girl, the Cinemix mix. That doesn't make any sense. But as much as I love this song, I am going to pot it down, because in the studio we have with us today Dustin Lemke from HCC. Thank you for coming in today,
sure.
Dustin.
Glad to be here.
And welcome back, Kirk K. Wang. Good friend to the show, good friend to artists in the area. Thank you for coming in today, Kirk.
Thank you, Joanna.
So you have a show that opened up last week at the Gallery HCC, Gallery 221 at the Dale Mabry campus called Snow in September. And I guess when I go look at a show, I don't read anything beforehand, so I can just look at it and then understand it. And then, so my impression was when I got there, before I read anything, I just walked around. I kept on thinking the name. When my brother, when 9/11 happened, my brother was a carpenter, and his shop was across the water from the Twin Towers, sort of in Brooklyn. And he, when we finally were able to talk again, he was talking like it was like there was snow coming down, but it was all the ash and everything. So instantly I was like, 9/11. But it's a lot more than 9/11. How did this show get started for you?
Well, it's a long story. Usually the show start a year earlier, and it happened at that time. I was in New York. I'm also a resident in New York, so I live both sides, Tampa and New York. So I got a phone call. You know, it was a rainy day in January, and then the weather is getting better. So my wife said, well, let's just go outside, take a walk. So we're in the lower Manhattan, and then the phone rings. The director of the gallery, HCC, Gallery 221, Amanda Pulse.
Yay, Amanda
and
Pulse.
She calls and we will offer you a solo show. After the excitement, I'm still a little bit trepidation, like, what I'm going to do for my show. So, and it happened, and we walked to the Fountain Memorial area at the World Trade Center. Then we saw, of course, that the silence is later afternoon, and the waterfall, the sound just so somber. And then the images just come. When you look at all these words reflected, you know, who's perished, reflect on these shiny marble walls, then you, then the images keep coming. 911, as you said, the building, when buildings falling down, and it's just like snows. Of course, that's in January. There's snows in New York, and then my wife, she's a theater major. She has her master's degree in theater and critique. So we've been always talking about the dramas, plays, particularly ancient Chinese play. So it just clicked to me because there's a tragedy which is I believe it's a 13th century called Ingest of Dou'e, or Ingest in mid-September, which is a play about a lady. She was unjustly killed, and no human can prevent that an atrocity. So after she died, it sort of moved to the heaven or whatever divine spirit. So the heaven sent the snow down. So by imagining, looking at that, the debris falling down like snow, and all these people perish, which is unjust, and this is a tragedy. But at the same time, when echo to this tragic play, so they just come together. So I come up with the name called Snow in September, which is
A left turn from that, but in The Wizard of Oz, there's a pivotal scene where they're lost and everything is going wrong, and it starts to snow, and it puts them to sleep, and it sort of changes the course of how things are going. And 9/11, of course, changed the course of how things are going. And in the myth that you're talking about, the ancient story, you're talking about the snow and the drought afterwards, like the death of this woman changed the course of an area. But one of the things there's so much to talk about. You have all different size scale paintings in it, and paintings and assemblages and stuff like that. But there's, on a lot of them, and the big ones, there's shirts.
Yes.
And there's, you know, there's pieces of clothing, and there's an idea. There's one, and dear listener, if you go to either the Art in Your Ear Facebook page, group page, or Facebook page, or Art in Your Ear on WMNF.org, you can see some of the pictures that I took of the show. And you can see that there's the outline of a shirt, the actual shirt, not a painting of a shirt.
Yes.
And then, but there's the rest of the shirt elsewhere. Yes. And there's this disintegration of it and movement and emigration. Yeah. So will you talk how that also sort of was incorporated into all of this?
Yes. I have been developing this series for a while. I call it a human skin series because all clothes, there are skins. They are like, we have two skins, our natural skin, which we can't change, then our social skin, which is our clothes. So all those clothes are recycled clothes from thrift stores. The reason for thrift stores, because I could imagine if the clothes has a life, they have come through so many life in different classes too. So we all share together. Usually, they're a good brand clothes. Usually for somebody to do well in society and they wear this. And then the clothes donated to the thrift store and in working class, somebody who's not economically doing well and continue to use those. And of course, eventually it was donated to me. So I'm recycled, make it into artwork. So the idea for this series, including the snow in September, which I still like to make abstract work. But at the same time, usually we think about abstract work always about color, shapes, design, the visual formats, which is important as a visual artist. But at the same time, for me, I feel like or artwork should have a content, even abstract, we don't see it. That's why if you think about these clothes, you imagine there's somebody else going through this, through their life, so to become an art. Same as the snow in September. It looks very colorful, abstract work, but once we know what's behind this? So it have a content. So I call this social abstract.
I like that. I mean, there was a young woman who was interning or volunteering in the gallery when I was there, and she was talking. And she had gone to the opening and was very excited, getting to hear you. And she was talking, and she said to me, and she's like, "I feel really bad, but I usually don't like abstract work. I don't understand it. I don't get it." But she's like, "But this is different." And I said, "Well, that's." Because it's not just, there's so much going on. Abstract allows you to look at something very specifically that when we were talking about how figurative sort of almost keeps you from seeing sometimes because the figure is there for you and you know what it is. And then you have to do the work. Abstract, it's all there and people can just sort of figure out what this means. When you're talking about putting content in it, were you trying to, because there's movements in these, there's one huge piece and there's just this like swoop that it almost forces your eye to go from the upper right to the lower right to over to, it just forces your eye for that. So were you intentionally putting this content in there in a way that would direct people's attention? Or were you kind of messing with people and be like, "Hey, look here, look over here, no, look over here, make your own decisions"? Like, where were you on that spectrum?
If we think about heroes, like somebody I'm really looked at, Cy Twombly is one of the artists that I enjoy, because if you look at his work, it just, as you said, like swoops or just abstract paint and just everywhere. But if you read what's behind that? He's coming from all Greek tragedies or Plato's or Homer's Odysseys. So it does have, as artists, we don't make wallpapers. It's important as a art educator. So I teach my students all the push and pull, design, balance, rhythms and everything. But at the same time, I feel it's very important, which is, the content and the content sometimes help me to design my work. For example, the swoop, the paint, the water coming out is because the background is about polluted coastlines that I visited around the world in South America. So that's the background at the specific paintings. So just the tragedy in another way, natural, for the natural environment. So that's what gets me. But at the same time, design with visual design, with that content in the background. So that will help me to design, to make that still visually, hopefully, visually beautiful in a way. It's pleasant to look at it, but at the same time, as a content or educational conversations that people can talk about and discuss about it.
And dear listener, that's Kirk K. Wang, who was talking about his work at Snow in September. It's up at Gallery 221 at HCC through May 11th. In the studio also is Dustin Lepke, a dean at HCC. And Dustin, if you don't mind hopping in for a second, because I'm, you know, from your position, how does a show, how does this show by Kirk, and how do shows like this function on within education on the Dale Mabry campus? Like, how, why this show, and why is this something that you're like, yeah? I'm assuming you're yeah.
100%.
Yeah. First, okay. Let me say, though, let me give a shout out to Amanda Poss, who is the gallery director. I am a last minute fill in for her. She needed to be with family this weekend. And it's one thing that we're trying to do post pandemic or at the end of the pandemic is take our time and be with family and stuff like that. So today was a day off for HCC. So she's with her family. And she really is the heartbeat of the gallery and could explain this so much better. So I know that I will do my best.
Right. Well, no more. I'm interested because you're a dean. And so you have this bird's eye view of a lot of things. And so since I have you, go for it.
So one thing that we do is, and Amanda's so good at this, I can tell Kirk is so good at this, is it's not just a painting hanging on the wall, but it's that whole education component that goes into it. You know, educators, when we're out with our friends on Friday night, we start explaining things and we give definitions and we do those sort of things. And so I've been in galleries before where the art's just hanging there and it is up to you to interpret it, but you know, because this is an educational gallery, we love to have an artist talk like Kirk did 2 weeks ago. We love to have explanations on the wall. We love to have QR codes so that people can go explore and see more about the process. And he really does this with this show, partly because of the different pieces he has. He has the pieces that you discussed that are fully formed, but then as he was creating those, he went to them and he took some pictures that were of small parts of them. And then he decided those are artwork on their own. And so he blew those up and put digital prints on the wall. So there's one whole wall that is digital prints of small pieces of each of the paintings blown up. Then he took those and painted more paintings of the digital prints of the large photo. So I love seeing that process so that students can see that it's not just the finished works. You know, often if you see a finished essay, if you see a finished song, if you see a finished painting, it looks easy and it looks like it just happened. But he led them step by step so that they can see all the work and the thought that goes into that. And I appreciate even what you were saying today, that it took a year to think through this project, that you know, you don't just go in Saturday afternoon, whip up some paintings and put it on the wall, but that there's some thinking that goes behind it. And then, of course, everything in education, we want people to know that an idea is where it all starts. Whatever that idea is, then you push it and you get it out there and you spread your beliefs and your ideas. And of course, the visual art is just the medium for that, but it's that nugget of an idea right from the start.
And the last show, I just forgot the artist's name. The last show that was up there was also another really strong show, Spirit Rhythm Blues, Leandra Lasseau, you know, and it was another show where I have to say, I feel like the Gallery 221 is being sort of avant-garde in what it's doing, you know? I mean, it's not, and that's really great. I mean, we're lucky that in this area, we have you guys, we have your Ybor sibling, that there's USF has a very strong, you know, it's where a lot of cutting edge work is happening. So very happy to see that. One of the things, Kirk, that when I was reading over some of the things that you've posted around social media and stuff on this, is that the layering, and that there's the vitality of the layering, but also it sounded like, I don't want to say that you had a fear of the layering, but it sounded like you were really sort of intently and intensely asking yourself questions about each time you were sort of adding on to it. Like you were like, is this, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing here? Like, it is being very purposeful about it. Will you, you know, and that of course sort of speaks to how you dismantled some of the work and had this piece here and then this piece from that piece there. Will you talk a little bit about that, about the idea that there is this one single flat surface and then there's all these surfaces added on top of it?
Yeah, I will. But first of all, I would also echo to what Dustin just said. You know, I would like shout out to Amanda Posey, the director of the gallery, which really put the HCC Dale Mabry's gallery on the map of, you know, the this area, this right. region is really a fantastic
of
artist's
don't miss.
Work,
like,
and
don't
also
miss a
the
show
calibers
there.
Of yeah. the artist's work in the past. That's why I'm feel so honored to be in this gallery to be invited. And according to layers, I have to come back to my life. As you know, I was born through the dark time in Chinese history, the Cultural Revolution, personally living in labor camp. So there's a lot of tragic moments. There's a lot of nightmares or whatever when I was grew up as a child. This is a reflection back. So that's another layer. And living in America as a diaspora, as an outlier, usually just as Asian American in society, sometimes we also live in another layer. So so that make me always, my work always about layer, just personally and visually. I do like layers because one thing about layer is like you don't tell the story direct. And also you can let people to interpret your story through their own lenses, through their own eyes, so they can interpret my work through their understanding. So as artists, we make work not just for ourselves, our journey, only half of it in our studio. Once they put it in the gallery, once for the students to see, for the audience to see, their understanding, their interpretation, their life stories will add another layers to it.
Well, I would think that it's not, I mean, the art wouldn't be a failure, but it would be less of a success if everyone got the same message from it. Like you have to, you know, if my interpretation isn't a little bit different from Dustin's, which is a little bit different from Amanda's, which is vitally different from yours, then that is not art. Then that's more of a decoration, a lovely thing, you know.
Yes.
And that's, yeah. So I remember from years ago, and you're laughing at me because I always bring it up, but it was so stunning that, was it Salt Creek Artworks?
Oh,
I think
yes.
You did a show and you sort of made it that people had to physically navigate through yes. a space where it wasn't just you could walk around and look at art, but you had to, there was streamers, there was things in the way, you had to go around the space. And this show also, because there's the main gallery, but then there's pieces that are on the other side of the floor, like they're outside and looking at that. And looking at them, you're within context, looking at the gallery, you know, it changes the context. So you have not just those layers, but you also have that movement around. Yeah. When you are doing the work, when you're in the middle of making the work, are you also seeing it how you think someone else may see it? Or do you need to just have your blinders on that this is for me, I just need to work, and then let it go? Like what's your process on that?
First, when we talk about installation, I always like the audience interact with the work in a like gallery setting. So for the Salt Creek show, that was 200 soft sculptures I made, like a puzzle. And it's about, you know, like a human versus nature kind of thing. And same way when I, as a process in my studio, I usually like to work a body of works together. So I don't usually just do like one work and I like to do like a several work at the same time, as several projects at the same time. As artist, I really don't like label myself, say like I'm a painter. I was trained as a painter. I'm teaching paintings. But in terms of my work, I like to do whatever the, usually interestingly, I like the content decide what my process is. So I usually like to have a concept, and with that concept, I build the body worse.
Like a few years ago, you had the toys.
That I have the toys, you know, that was like, the concept. Right. Yeah, so that's the same thing. So once I have the concept, then I go to do research, to find different things, and then I build together. That could be interactive like this one, or could it be just purely a painting? Could it be abstract, which is for this body of work? But also I have another body work, which is figurative, which is dealing with Asian American lives today. So I feel like I need to have some concrete images rather than just abstract lines. So that's another body. But I'm working together, you know, just, yeah, working together.
Is it, I mean, so that's so interesting because there's a lot of people that their process is to do a piece at a time. And that's how they, that's, you know, I mean, for me, creativity is sometimes problem solving, but not problem solving in a traditional sense that I have a problem, I'm going to fix it, but it's exploration and it's answering that question, you know, that our, we have so many questions inside us, and creating art or creating something helps answer or provide an answer. So is that by having all these different projects at once, do you know, like, okay, today I'm working on this, or is it like walking into the studio and going, who's calling me? Like, who's my brain calling to me towards? What piece is calling me? Like, how do you even know what you're going to get working on?
Usually I need help from my wife. That's why I moved my studio from Seminole Heights back to my backyard, which is any time she could come in, I couldn't make a decision. I would say, how do you think? She said, this way. Okay, I will do this way.
That's and awesome. The other
way. And before my children, you know, left for college, mm-hmm. That's their role.
Right.
So they came to my studio. And so, yeah, it's sometimes improvised.
Right.
As artists, we don't have really a plan. The plans, as Dustin just said, when we develop. So the process is mm-hmm. so important. And while you're working, while you're making, it's always adding more to what you do. Actually, speaking about that, you mentioned the smaller works, which is basically it's a concept like remaking history, because the snow in September, which is about history, and of course it's a tragic history, but the question is, can we see humanities? Can we see meanings of humanities through this tragedy, just like any tragedies, like Greek tragedy or in the ancient time? So tragedies already happened, but as a human, we're still living, or in the future, can we see, can we learn from those? So that's my goal. So for that process, I'm remaking the painting, because when I do my layers, it covered up, because I start with very, actually figurative, realistically, almost like photographic realism for the early starts. And then gradually I add like layers, mm-hmm. layers. But sometimes I feel bad. Only I had that memory of those work. Nobody
right.
else be able to see it. So I started documenting them with myself when I was working. Mm-hmm. I document all these pieces. Then as looking as a history for me, then I feel like I could retell the history.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to repaint those, and that was the small work from the show, which is a section from the history, which is all lost.
Right.
But also the conceptually, they become an idea, because all history based on our interpretation, because what's happened. So our understanding of what history is, that become more important
but,
now.
I mean, it's an exact, not even metaphor, simile for history, because history is always covered up. That's what history is. It always gets covered in layers. And then someone is interpreting it.
Yes.
And a
yes.
reminder, you know, we're a community college, so we certainly have older students and we have younger, but most of our students are 18 to 20 years old. They weren't born when
right.
September 11th happened. So as we talk about these layers, we remember maybe where we were when it happened, and we remember maybe political things that happened, and we remember the 10-year anniversary and the 20-year anniversary, mm-hmm. but our students, this is history
right.
to them. It's not... Maybe to us, it even still feels like a current event. But to our students, it is, they might be learning about it For the first time even or something.
That was the conversation that we had, the student and I, that she didn't live through it. And I did. But then we talked about the tsunami that happened, I think 2011. I'm sorry, I don't remember. But there was that horrible tsunami because that's what the work was also making me think of, with the clothes and the debris. And there were some photos after the tsunami that were incredibly beautiful photos. Like, the photos were just heartrendingly beautiful until you got close and you understood what you were looking at. And there was like a horror to it. So, dear listeners, we're speaking here on Art in Your Ear on WMNF 88.5 FM, best station in the nation. We're speaking to Kirk K. Wang, artist Kirk K. Wang, and then Dean Dustin Lemke from HCC at the Dale Mabry Campus Gallery 221 has Kirk's show up through May 11th. When you have people coming to it, coming to the show, because the installation is a very purposeful installation. It would be easy to sort of say, go this way, go clockwise, whatever, but it's a very, you know, there's the four seasons that you see when you're so striking, so stunning, you walk in. What, is there a preferred way that you want people to experience things? Is there a way that you're like, this, if you do it this way, you're going to max out your, you know, your get, like, how do you want people to see this?
I would like the audience to be there just by themselves, the quieter time. So that place, I'm glad they have some chairs there. So just sit there meditating, because this work, not only just for this content, but also visually, there becomes sort of like a meditative space. Particularly, thankful the gallery that did a nice insulation for the snows from my work, which is a part of the work coming down from my work, pastured at the back of the gallery. So if they could just coming in and be themselves, meditating, and also there's opera, ancient opera of the tragedy playing in the gallery, so very lightly, so they could hear the opera at the same time visually looking at the works. I think that's the best experience.
Dustin, had you seen the work before it was hung, or were you a part of the process, or did you get to sort of kaboom it when everyone else did?
The dean is strange, because the dean is just always wandering around. And so I saw Kirk and the team as they were bringing the pieces in from a truck. And some of them are so large, they had measured, and they barely fit through doors and elevators. So I watched that, and then I watched it going up. And he described a little bit on the windows on the backside of the gallery. I mean, it's the front as you're walking up, but then when you're looking at the artist on the backside, he had given different pieces. So the clothing that you've discussed that was on the top, the pieces that he had cut out of it, he gave to the gallery. And then one of the, Rachel, one of the people that works in the gallery, arranged it, and they actually attached it to that. And so it does look like snow on that. So it was fun to see it going up in all the different pieces and everything. I went into it and first and saw it, and I didn't notice that behind me across the library were the two enormous paintings that were really outstanding.
And you helped me to open the door when we carry it in.
He's a dean. He does everything.
Our person just opens a door.
So, and that's what, we only have a few minutes left too, and there's so much to talk about. That was also what was so interesting, is the range of scale in it. Because a lot of times, you know, there's this idea that if something is very large, it's demanding of you. Demand, like, look at me. You have to look at me, and I am important. I am large. Look at me. And the smaller ones are sort of saying, like, I'm here, I'm small, I have hidden secrets. You know, you should look at me because you're going to assume something about me. Is there, when you're doing that scale, when you have these different scales in there, and again, the work is so beautiful. Like, it has so much meaning to it, but it's also just so beautiful. I went last, dear listener, I went last Friday after the show because they closed the gallery. It's not open today, but it closes usually at 2. And then, so call ahead of time and make sure that you, that if when you're going to see it, that they're open. And I'll post the hours and stuff around. But I've been thinking about the show all week, because some parts of it are just so achingly beautiful.
Thank you.
That there's the, that the message to me in some, you know, what I was leaving is that there's these tragedies. There's, for a millennium, there's been tragedies, mistakes that humans have made, purposeful wrongs that humans have made, terrible things. And yet what survives is this beauty and is this idea that there's meaning to it. You know, I mean, I feel like that's what as a viewer I was getting. It's like that you were saying, look, there's meaning. There's meaning here. Look at the meaning. And it was interesting. Again, this wonderful young woman was talking about, you know, like she's getting meaning out of things and she's not sure what it all means, but she knows, like she wants to think about it. So in our last few minutes, let's just kind of talk about what you know, like when you are done with a piece, when it's time to stop working on a piece. One, how do you know when you're done with a piece? And then two, is that a physical thing where you look at the piece, you're like, yep, good, or is it a emotional or intellectual, or where is that when you know you're done with a piece?
Well, for artists, work never be down. If you got another 2 weeks for the show, I may still keep working on it, become something else.
Just slap your hand. Stop.
But these, thank you for mentioning about the work. Usually my work is bigger. The reason I like the bit larger work because I like to live in it. Mm-hmm. So I'd be overwhelmed. I become part of the work.
Right, you have to see it.
But when Amanda came to my studio, because there was have a studio visit several times, and then we want to have works that actually match the size of the gallery. So I went there, actually measured the four panels. So that four season was specifically designed for the panel, because the panel is kind of a long rectangular. Mm-hmm. It reminds me Asian art. You know, Asian art has scrolls always long vertically rather than horizontally.
Right.
So that just a fit. And the gallery, the curators, they did very well to have that presented in a way almost like a squirrel of a landscape coming down.
And that perspective, that different perspective from what we were traditionally like, you know, that developed during the Greek and the Roman, I forget what it's called, Pythagorean, whatever that's called, but the Western perspective of that, so different from the Asian or Eastern perspective, or specifically the Chinese perspective. Yeah. Of how things move in that.
Yes. So another thought I just came on this, you know, about Buddhist philosophy, because this work is about dust. It's about snow, the falling down from the Twin Towers. We were made of dust, if you think from that angle. So that's another way of looking at it. But the dust is a beautiful thing. We come as a dust, and when one day we will perish, just like anybody else.
We're made of stardust.
But that become a dust again. However, the human spirit, the dust of human spirit, always passing through generations by generations by generations. So hopefully, as any artist, any art forms, maybe one day the artist may be gone, but the work or the whatever the meaning of the work could carry on for generations to come.
And because, and unfortunately, but it's how life is in 50 years, there'll be other tragedies. And someone could be looking at these paintings and applying what they learned or what wasn't learned at those tragedies.
Yes.
Justin, I've got one last question for you. How do you want students, or what does the college, or what can the college do for its student population to sort of have them say, go see this? You know, is there how do you get more of your own students back in?
One of the big things that we do is classes actually come and take tours. So all sorts of classes tour the gallery, from business classes to art classes English classes. To go and look. So they're always doing that. One of the things that the galleries do at both of our campus, Dale Mabry and Ybor, is they kind of give an energy to campus too, that, you know, we have big buildings, we have large parking lots, but you get inside the gallery and there's a life to it and an energy to it. So particularly, you know, after COVID, we want more students on campus, I think. And so it gives them something to see and engage that is not the digital world, that it's a real life, something you can look at.
And it's really lovely. So to give the facts out, I finally can easily find the gallery, but if you've not been to the gallery or haven't been there in a while on the HCC Dale Mabry campus, when you go up, what's the main road that goes up off of
Tampa Bay Boulevard.
You look for the building DLRC, which is pretty close to the parking lot. And the Gallery 221 is on the second floor right next to the library. So if you follow all the signs of the library, you will find the gallery. And again, it's upstairs, which is also really cool because you can go outside and on the second floor and look at it through the window because there's artwork that faces the outdoor and look at it, which is something I'm so sorry I didn't get a picture of that because it's really cool. So, and then again, dear listener, all this information, some of this information is up on the various, on the website and the social media, but I'm going to add links and everything afterwards. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
So,
have a great time.
And it's just great. And I really appreciate being there. So dear listener, please hang in there. Stay tuned. Coming up next is E-Love with her Global Electronica show, but we've got lots of stuff for you before then, including stuff going on around town. Thank you, Kirk. Thank you, Dustin.
Thank you. It's been great
talking to you, and I can't wait for everyone to go see the show. Here's some Julia Jacklin with Someday.
Good old days, someday, someday.
And that is Julia Jacklin doing, isn't that the, oh my God, their name just went out of my head. I'll come back to it. Anyway, I want to let you know some stuff going on tonight or this evening at Spaces, S-P-A-A-C-E-S, Spaces. It's a little gallery, a really cool, not little, it's actually kind of big gallery in Sarasota. They have an opening this evening. Here we go. And they're opening, it's a solo exhibition by Hannah Benicella. And there it is from 6 to 8 p.m. An art installation with charcoal drawings. It looks really interesting. If you want to get directions to there, because I cannot even begin to tell you how to get there. If you want to get directions to there, it's located at 2087 Princeton Street, Sarasota, 34237. But you can always email Marianne, M-A-R-I-A-N-N-E, at spaces, two A's, dot art. And I'll post this up on the Art in Your Ear Facebook page and the Art in Your Ear page on WMNF.org. Also want to mention tomorrow night is the Gallery Walk in St. Petersburg. It's the second Saturday Gallery Walk. And at the, here I have it, at, there is a April Showers Art Walk and Poetry Open Mic at a, I think it's a fairly new location. It's called the 400 Studios. And 400 Studios is located, for no one's surprise, at 423rd Street South. And Tiffany Rosani is going to be there with her Wordier Than Thou group doing poetry. Coming up next is E-Love with her beautiful global electronica show. After that, of course, I can see that the live music showcase is setting up. They've got a lot of mic stands set up, so it's going to be a lively show. That live music showcase is at 2 p.m. At 3 p.m. is Reverend Billy and Marvelous Marvin and their crew coming in with a kind of an overview of the history of rock and roll going back 70, 80, 90 years to stuff that was just released. It's always fun. It's always informative. It's a great Friday show. We follow that with R&B, classic R&B on the Soul Party, classic soul and R&B with Steve the Hitman. Get into at 8 p.m. We've got the Soul Kitchen, which is fantastic smorgasbord of everything good. So much fun. Of all good rhythm-based music. Plus, you can call in and tell them what you're making for dinner. And then we end our night with Chuck Cord Jr., Flashback Friday. It's Florida-based R&B and Florida-based soul. Lots of stuff. You can always go online to anything we do and listen to any of our shows at any time. Do that. If you want to get in touch with me, please do send an email to Joe Ellen, J-O-E-L-L-E-N, Joe Ellen at WMNF.org. And then let me know what you're working on, what's going on, what you're working on, all that type of stuff. All right. I am out of here. I've got some music for you. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. There's a band called Narrow Skies, and they just have a new release. And it makes me think actually of E-Love and her program. It's just beautiful, swoopy, gorgeous music about the planet. Their new release is called Earth 2. We're going to go with their lead single from it called Among the Stars here on WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM, WMNF, best little station in the nation. Thanks, everybody, for being out there. And I'll talk to you next week. Stay cool. Bye.